Welcome to the first part of Casinorview's interview with world-famous gambler, Mickey Mays. Who is Mickey Mays? Has been the most searched question when people Google you. What would your answer to that be?
I'm just some guy, and I just try to pack as much experiences in life as I can every day. We have a short time here, and I have been afforded the opportunity to have a lot of resources, to do things, to find out what I like and don't like. I'm really just some guy. I'm a normal person. There's things I like and things I don't like. I just happen to use cards as one of my crutches to gain the resources to find out what I like and don't like.
It's been said that you made your money through being a trust fund baby, among other things. But let's hear it from you.
I'll tackle the trust fund first. It's a pretty good conspiracy, right? It's like a pretty good idea. If you wanted to come up with your own version of like how I got money, like I think that one is probably one of the better ones. The only problem is that all my tax records and casino win-loss statements have been released. So even if I came from a trust fund, I still beat the casinos. That fact doesn't change. So people often that say trust fund are trying to negate the fact that I achieved any form of history. And I changed history and I beat the casinos, and the casinos had to adjust their games accordingly. Whether I did that with money that came from my old business, whether I did that strictly from gambling, or whether I did that from a trust fund, I still did it. And the records have been released. They're public information. You can just look them up right now online. There's videos, there's photos. Yeah, you know, you've seen it.
So people say it's either or, but it's actually kind of both.
No, I didn't get a trust fund. I'm not a trust fund kid. I don't think there's an issue with having a trust fund, but no, I wasn't fortunate to get that. I've always been pretty open about like my family's history. They had been a wealthy family when I was young. They lost everything when I was a young teenager, and I've been on my own and not raised by my parents since I was very young. So my family lost everything when I was like somewhere around the ages of 13 or 14, which is also when I stopped living with my parents. And if they could have given me like money and stuff growing up after that, they would have, but they didn't have it anymore. So yeah, it's not a trust fund. I never got a trust fund. But even if it was a trust fund, you can't negate my tax statements and my casino win records. No matter where the money came from, I still beat the casinos.
What's the real deal when a casino decides you're too hot to handle?
In America, they don't drag you into a room. That's a thing of the past. They no longer will use physical force as a deterrent. But it depends what you're being backed off for. So there's like slot hustlers who will be trespassed, right? There's certain people like card counters. What happens with a card counter is it's super obvious, a card counter, they have card counters in the surveillance office, like top-notch card counters. They also have software to detect card counting, and this is for blackjack. So when they detect someone is card counting, they will be approached by an executive. And usually what will happen is either they will be limited and forced to flat bet. So they won't be trespassed or removed. They'll just say, hey, you can't change the amount of your bet. You have to pick a dollar amount, and that's what you're going to bet every hand, which immensely mitigates the edge of card counting. And the second thing they'll do is they will, although they, of course there's a third, which is where they trespass them, but oftentimes the first is they will limit or restrict. And the next is they'll say, you can gamble here, but you can't play blackjack. Because if they're a card counter, it only applies to blackjack, and the rest of the games, they're likely to be a loser and a victim to the house edge. And then there is the third where they get trespassed, but I don't think that's too often, specifically with card counters. So it really depends how you're beating the casino. They will respond accordingly.
Card counting, that's still a thing? Aren't the technical advancements in casinos making it no longer possible?
It's definitely possible. It's definitely a big thing in the AP community for sure.
What exactly happened to you when you were banned? How did they do it?
What happened to me? Well, it happened one at a time. So every casino responded differently. Some, like The Win, only let me play there two times ever. And I actually am a net profit loser at The Win when you look at the two plays I had. I think I lost $4 million one time, and then I won only $2.5 million or so, something like that, the second time. So you could say, well, you're still a loser. Why would they ban you? They saw the potential of me winning more. They saw the manner in which I won, and they saw the way I was effective in the game was beyond these what should have been the standard understanding of the game. More people get limited or restricted or banned from casinos from sports than anything else. But those guys usually are really cut and dry. Their betting accounts are generally done online and they will be immediately restricted. So no matter what the limit is, they'll be cut to like $10 a bet or their accounts will just be terminated and they'll no longer be able to log in. It's easier to get banned or restricted through sports than it is casino play.
You said all casinos responded in a different way towards you. Can you explain?
I post all the time casinos throwing me out and banning me. Some will make up a reason. Some will come up with the most ludicrous or asinine excuses on why I'm not welcome on property. And they'll blame it on something that's not correlating to gambling. They'll say, there was a casino that said I touched too many forks in the VIP lounge, which is ridiculous. There's a casino that said I yelled and scared the dealers. That's ridiculous. There's a casino that said I had a fight with a valet driver, except I wasn't even in the state of Nevada at the time of the alleged fight. I flew in that night. I met the manager of the valet. He was a friend of mine. I said, can I record a conversation? He said, go ahead. And I recorded he and I talking about the accusations about the executive saying he and I had a fight earlier in the day where he clearly denied it. It's on, you know, he agreed to be on camera and he goes, I didn't even see you. I haven't seen you in weeks. So they come up with any reason. Eventually, the casino started to be quite forthright with me. And they simply said, we don't want your action. Your action's too strong. It's too sharp. We're just not interested in your business. When they said, how many forks did you touch? They said, you touched too many forks. I said, what's the rule on how many forks I'm allowed to touch? There was like 10 security guards and the guy that was leading the conversation. When I said that, he pulled out this little index card and he read me. It's I forget what it's called, but it's like the Miranda rights. He goes, you are hereby trespassed from our property. And if you return and da 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 da. And I'm like, all right, buddy, like relax, you know, like I'll get out of here.
Let's say we stroll into the Venetian together right now. What goes down?
Escorted out with me as my company, but you... it would be very unlikely that they would legally trespass you. They would escort you out just for being with me, but you would be likely able to return on your own accord on a different date. It would be a problem that we all have to deal with. When you're not with me, they probably wouldn't rustle your feathers. I think that a lot of them are confused as to exactly what it is I've been doing. So they just don't want to take chances with any liabilities. If I came in with people, they're unsure of your role in the relationship with me, and they just rather not take a chance.
Do you ever plan to explain how you beat the casinos?
Not really. I have a dollar amount that I'd be willing to sell this information for. It's $50 million. But I also set it that high, knowing that it's unrealistic and won't happen. What will happen with certainty is that when the information on how I did it comes out, that all the casinos will change what it is that is the exploitative feature that I'm utilizing, in which case whoever gave me the $50 million most likely would have just wasted that money.
Could you say that more people could become like you and develop the same skills?
It's definitely possible, but I think the casinos are regularly adjusting and adapting their hidden edges. I think what's pretty likely is the casino will continue to make attempts to pay me for that information so they can seal their gaps before the players find out. I may have said too much.
In a bit of a pivot here, tell us about your Shaken Hearts initiative.
Shaken Hearts is a nonprofit organization that I founded and operate that at no cost at all will help anybody who struggles with gambling addiction, drug addiction, mental illness, such as depression, anxiety, or other things to find the help they need to recover from their addiction. I discourage gambling every chance I get. I think gambling is an evil, evil thing. And I don't want to see anybody gamble because they're likely to lose and they don't have to put themselves through that. But it is of addictive nature, just like drugs and alcohol and mental health, you know. So it's a foundation that at no cost at all will help these people who struggle find help. It got started because a lot of the rappers I became friends with go through their own drug addiction and mental health. And they knew that I don't drink, I don't drug, and that I'm straight edge. And they would ask me for help. And coming from the rehab business, I was able to offer what's known as a scholarship. It's a free ride into rehabs and mental health facilities. So I'd offer some of my friends a free ride into rehab to try to get them back on their feet. And slowly, one of my buddies who owns one of the rehabs said, "Do you think somebody can give me a shout out so I can try to generate, you know, business for the money I'm losing giving this guy a free ride?" I said, "Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be effective. I think there's a more efficient way to reach people who don't know that help exists." And I was working with Famous Dex, and he and I came up with the idea to create a funnel that could directly reach out and impact the consumers that need help. And that's how he and I created Shaken Hearts.
You are really into this, helping people, right? Is it a passion to you?
Something interesting that people don't really notice is I've never done paid promo. I don't do brand deals. I don't make money off the internet at all. I do the opposite. I have no interest in hurting anybody. I don't take money from any of my fans. I don't shill a product. I don't sell merch. I don't do anything that would ever take away from a fan. I do quite the contrary. I do everything I can to give them support, guidance, money, direction, infrastructure, opportunities for work. I do anything I can to help, although I don't think that a lot of people recognize that. I feel like they're too fixated on maybe the cinematic videos and stories I post that a lot of times they overlook some of the altruism and purity that actually comes from my brand. Never taken a dollar from a fan. I've never sold anything. I've never done paid promo. I've never done a brand deal. I have no desire. As the term influencer is referring to influencing the masses, and you could influence them for good or for evil. And if I'm taking money secretly and pushing products down the throats of those who follow my direction, then am I helping them or hurting them? And I have no desire to hurt anybody.
Would you be as open to guide someone into gambling in the high stakes world as you are to help them beat addiction?
I don't like giving gambling advice. I do my best not to give tips or guidance because it's encouraging gambling, and I think nobody should gamble. I'm a pretty big advocate for helping those who struggle, and I rather spend more time focusing on helping those who have a problem than taking those without a problem and creating one.
In your opinion, what makes a person prone to becoming a gambling addict?
There's actually two perspectives. There is someone who gets addicted, and there's someone who is an addict. Someone who gets addicted fell victim to the problematic natures that are addictive in gambling or drugs or alcohol, right? But they're not of the genetic type of addict. They got addicted. So for example, drugs is an easy way to explain. If you break your leg and you go to the doctor and the doctor says, "Hey, take these pills, it'll make you feel better." You take the pills, slowly you start to see that your body's building a natural tolerance. This was not a conscious decision. Biologically, your body is responding that way. So now you say to yourself, "Well, I'm in pain. These pills help, but they're helping less. Let me take two of them." Then you're taking two pills instead of one. You run out early. You run out early and you go, "Wow, now I'm in serious pain and I'm in opiate withdrawal because I'm out of the medication the doctor prescribed me." You're not even realizing that your body had became physically addicted. So now you have to go out and seek other ways to fulfill the opiates that your body's craving and you need for the pain relief. So now you're using opiates that you're purchasing on the street or manipulating or possibly heroin. That person got addicted. But when they go to a detox or they help wean off the medication, their mind no longer craves the feeling of the opiates and their body's healed. They moved on. So for a short time, they were addicted. Now, the addict is a person that even when they're removed physically from the substance, their brain is still craving the feeling, and that's why they go out and they relapse time and time again, seeking the feeling of that pain relief, even when they don't have pain. So a person who is an addict, given the right environment or circumstance, can I'm sorry, a person who's addicted, giving the right environment or circumstance, can remove themselves and heal on their own. But there's other people who are addicts who suffer from the disease of addiction that need professional help and more guidance.
Do you think it's easier to become addicted to gambling than to drugs or alcohol?
I think becoming a gambling addict or addicted to gambling is a smaller group of people than become addicted to drugs. I think it's harder to get addicted to gambling, but I think those who do get addicted to gambling have a much, much more difficult, long, deep, dark path than those who get addicted to drugs. And I think there's a lot of reasons. I think not just is it socially acceptable, but the actual objective of casinos is to convince people to keep coming back and spending all their money and ruining their lives. And the casinos will do anything to make sure that the patron's life is as bad as possible, so the casino's life is as good as possible. The lights, the action, the shows, the dinners, the free comps, the free jets, the rooms, the girls, the clubs. The whole point is to keep people coming in and keep them addicted. With drugs is the opposite. Everywhere you look, people are like, don't do drugs. Drugs are bad. Stay away from drugs. If you do drugs, we'll arrest you. If you have possession of drugs, we arrest you. If you buy or sell drugs, we arrest you. With gambling, it's the opposite. There's commercials on TV that says, come on in and buy our version of drugs. And it's supported by the government.
What made you dive into being staked in the first place? And what made you stop?
In the very beginning, I would just gamble with some of like my famous friends, and I wasn't being staked. We'd be out together. We'd be in a casino. We'd both gamble. They would follow all my bets and we'd both win. They'd post about it and it would go viral. Then I started receiving death threats from, you know, irrelevant people. I don't know how you say, like regular non-famous people, like just people, right? That I only help the rich and famous. Why don't I help the little guy? Why don't I help the guys who actually need the help and stuff like that? And I said, well, my only objective is to help people. So what is a way that I can take this feedback and help them the way they keep asking? I go, okay, let me do a pool where we can do some staking. That's the wrong phrasing. It's not a pool. I just said, let me try to help these people who want to stake me for small amounts of money. And I think it lasted maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. And I never went through with it. But as I started building the program for it, I realized that I have no way to monitor where the money's coming from, if it's a safe bet. I never want to take anyone's last dollar because we are gambling and we still run a risk of losing. And I don't know if these people are stealing for the money. I don't know if it's their rent money. And I immediately realized there's way more liability than there is asset. If I was greedy, I would turn a blind eye and I wouldn't consider any of that. I would have just taken everybody's money and gambled with it. Every single day, countless people ask to send me money so I can gamble, and I never do it. But if I was greedy and I only cared about the money and I didn't care about what happens to that person, every day I'd be taking the money and gambling. And the times I lose, I would tell them sorry. And the times I win, I'd be making money and I would never have a risk. But it's not about the money. I care what happens to all these people, even the ones I don't know. So I decline every opportunity to be staked by somebody. The only times, which is a rarity these days, that I will accept the opportunity to be staked is when it's from somebody that I can confirm can afford it, is willing to do it, understands all the terms of it, and it's usually not exclusively about the gambling. If I spend a week with a wealthy friend and we're in Vegas partying and he's going to gamble on his own, he looks at me and he goes, hey, I think you will help my chances of not losing. Why don't you play for me? And if we win, you know, I'll cover some of the tabs. And that would be the only time that I accept it these days.
If I were to show you my bank statements and prove to you that I am financially stable, will you let me stake you?
Generally don't want to because it adds unneeded pressure, not just to me, but to our friendship. But if you're a friend of mine and I know you're very wealthy and we're having a good time and you're going to gamble on your own and you look to me, your friend, for advice, I will do my best as a friend to guide you in the right direction to win.
Don't forget to check in soon for part 2 of our Mickey Mays interview.